Back to our conversation in just a second. You know that feeling when you flip your pillow to the cool side at 2 a.m.? Ghost bed is for people who are tired of that being the solution. It's for you. I've got a ghost bed at home. I got a ghost bed pillow at home. My whole family loves the pillows. The cooling is built right in. It's not an upgrade. It's something that's there. You don't have to pay extra for it. And I don't have those 2 a.m. moments anymore where it's like, where's the cool? It's just, it's there because that's what it does. Right now, Ghost Bed's Memorial Day sale is going on. It makes it the perfect time to upgrade. $200 off adjustable base bundles, a mattress and an adjustable base paired together for the ultimate bedroom upgrade. Plus, Real Ghost Stories Online listeners get an extra 10% off site-wide with code GHOST. Ghost Bed is family-owned, got over 20 years in the industry with more than 100,000 positive reviews from happy customers. They make everything from mattresses and adjustable bases to pillows and bedding. This isn't some unknown sleep brand. They've been doing this a long time, and it shows. If you're not sure which mattress is right for you, check this out. I love doing this quiz. Ghostbed.com/ghost. Take their mattress quiz, answer a few questions about how you sleep, and you'll get a personalized recommendation from their collection. Every Ghost Bed mattress comes with fast free shipping and 101 nights to try it out. If it's not the right fit, you get your money back. Upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Head to ghostbed.com/ghost and use code GHOST for an extra 10% off site wide. That's ghostbed.com/ghost, code GHOST.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The Victorian sat at the end of the block like it had somehow survived by accident. Every other house on the street had been updated beyond recognition over the years. Vinyl siding, widened garages, modern windows. Most of them looked interchangeable now, but the Victorian still carried traces of another time beneath all the neglect and questionable renovations. Its narrow tower still rose above the trees. The wraparound porch sagged slightly near the front steps, and parts of the exterior had been covered in cheap aluminum siding sometime in the 70s. But enough of the original house remained visible to hint at what it once looked like. Tall windows, decorative trim buried beneath layers of paint, ornate woodwork hidden under careless remodeling. Most people who toured the house saw a money pit. They saw potential. The first time they walked through it together, she immediately noticed how strangely disconnected parts of the interior felt. Hallways ended awkwardly. Rooms connected in ways that didn't quite make sense. Certain walls looked thicker than they should have been. Upstairs especially, the layout felt uneven somehow, as though portions of the house had been shifted around over the years. That fascinated her. Old houses changed over time. She knew that. Families remodeled, rooms were combined, staircases moved, servants' areas disappeared completely once homes modernized. But even during that first walkthrough, she kept getting the strange feeling that the Victorian remembered its older shape better than its current one. 3 months later, they owned it. The renovation work started almost immediately. Old carpeting came up first, exposing original hardwood beneath years of damage and staining. Layers of wallpaper appeared beneath newer paint. Covered fireplaces surfaced behind drywall. One upstairs closet still contained fragments of floral wallpaper hidden behind shelving that looked at least 60 years old. The deeper they dug into the house, the more obvious it became that multiple generations had altered it repeatedly without much concern for preserving the original layout. That part excited her more than it overwhelmed her. Most evenings after work, they spent hours stripping wallpaper, pulling nails, removing damaged trim, and trying to uncover pieces of the Victorian that had been buried over time. The house constantly surprised them. Some discoveries felt small, like finding original brass hardware inside a cabinet. Others completely changed how they understood parts of the layout. One afternoon, they discovered a sealed transom window hidden above a doorway upstairs. Another weekend, they uncovered evidence that an entire room near the back of the house had once extended several feet farther before being shortened during some later renovation. The house seemed full of erased pieces of itself. The dream started not long after that, and at first, they didn't feel important. The first one happened sometime during the second month of renovations. She dreamed she was walking downstairs carrying folded laundry, while voices drifted faintly from another room below. Nothing frightening happened. No one chased her. No ghosts appeared. What stayed with her afterward was the staircase. It wasn't the main staircase near the front entry. It was narrower, steeper. The walls around it were covered in faded wallpaper, and the staircase emptied directly beside the kitchen instead of the front hallway. In the dream, using it felt completely natural, like she'd walked those stairs 1,000 times before. Then she woke up. That should have been the end of it. Except the dream stayed unusually vivid for days afterward. Not emotionally vivid exactly, but spatially vivid. She could still picture the exact turn of the staircase and the shape of the landing halfway down. A few weeks later, she had another dream. This time she stood in an upstairs sewing room late in the afternoon while sunlight poured through lace curtains onto the hardwood floor. Somewhere downstairs, someone laughed softly. The house felt occupied, warm, alive in a way. It never did during renovations. Again, nothing frightening happened, but once again, she woke up remembering details that bothered her afterward. The sewing room did not exist, at least not anymore. During breakfast the next morning, she casually described the room while looking over renovation sketches with him. She mentioned where she thought it had been located based on how the dream felt spatially inside the house. He mostly brushed it off at first. Old houses naturally made people imagine earlier versions of them. Between demolition work and constantly studying the floor plan, it made sense her brain would start filling in gaps subconsciously. Then later that afternoon, while removing damaged plaster near the back upstairs hallway, he uncovered something strange inside the wall framing. An old doorway. Not just a framed opening, either. The outline of a narrow staircase descending sharply downward. The angle matched exactly where she described the staircase from her first dream. That was the first moment the dream stopped feeling completely harmless. Even then, they tried explaining it rationally. Maybe she noticed subtle details unconsciously. Uneven flooring, strange wall depths, the kind of clues people absorb without realizing it. But the dreams continued, not often, that somehow made them feel more important. If the dreams happened constantly, they probably would have started blending together eventually. Instead, they arrived every few weeks, vivid enough to linger long after waking. And each time the house appeared older. Not abandoned older. Lived in older. Gas lamps glowing softly in hallways. Original wallpaper before decades of paint covered it. Hardwood floors polished from years of use instead of hidden beneath damaged carpeting. Voices carrying faintly through rooms she could never quite reach. The strangest part was how familiar the dreams felt. Not like watching scenes unfold. Like remembering places she had already been. One evening, while stripping wallpaper near the upstairs landing, she casually mentioned that the hallway still felt wrong without the back staircase. He stopped scraping immediately. She noticed the look on his face and asked what was wrong. Until that moment, she had never told him where the staircase from her dream actually connected upstairs. But she had just pointed directly toward the section of wall where they had uncovered the sealed doorway framing days earlier. After that, the dreams became harder to dismiss casually. Before, they had still felt explainable somehow. Strange, maybe, but explainable. The Victorian was already consuming most of their lives. They spent nearly every evening studying floor plans, tearing into walls, uncovering old details hidden beneath decades of renovations. It made sense that the house had started invading her subconscious. At least that was what they kept telling themselves. But the staircase changed things. Not because it proved anything paranormal outright, but because of how specific the details had been. She had not simply dreamed about another staircase. She described the exact location, the sharp angle of the turn, and the way it descended toward the kitchen. And now evidence of it sat exposed behind the wall upstairs. After that discovery, both of them started noticing the house differently. The Victorian no longer felt random in its layout. The awkward hallways and uneven room sizes began feeling like clues instead of poor design choices. Everywhere they worked, they found evidence that parts of the home had been rearranged over the decades. Old trim lines remained visible beneath paint. Sections of flooring changed direction abruptly where walls once stood. Covered vents and patched ceilings hinted at rooms that no longer existed. The house had been rewritten repeatedly, but the older version still lingered underneath. The dreams continued every few weeks after that, vivid enough to linger long after waking. They always took place inside the older version of the Victorian, where the house felt warmer and more alive than it did during the endless months of renovation. Sometimes the details were strangely ordinary. A half-finished cup of tea sitting near a window. Rainwater sliding slowly down old glass panes while someone played piano faintly downstairs. The smell of bread drifting from the kitchen while footsteps crossed the upstairs hallway overhead. What unsettled her most was how familiar everything felt. The dreams never felt cinematic or surreal. They felt remembered. One morning she woke up convinced there should be another doorway at the end of the upstairs hallway near the back bedrooms. Not a hidden room exactly, just a doorway that felt missing every time she walked past that section of wall. Later that afternoon, while removing old wallpaper glue, she absentmindedly tapped the wall and noticed the sound changed abruptly in one section. Hollow. The door had once existed exactly where she described it. By then, even he had stopped trying to explain everything away completely. He still searched for rational explanations, but the confidence behind them weakened each time the house validated another detail. From her dreams. Then came the wallpaper. That discovery bothered him more than the staircase ever had. She dreamed about it 3 nights before they found it. In the dream, she stood near the rear sitting room while afternoon sunlight filled the house with a warm amber glow. The room looked smaller than it did now because part of the back wall had not yet been removed during some later renovation. Floral wallpaper covered the walls in faded blue patterns winding through thin silver vines. What stayed with her afterward was not the room itself. It was the wallpaper. She could remember the pattern perfectly after waking. 2 days later, while removing damaged plaster near the rear hallway, they uncovered older wallpaper beneath the newer layers. Blue floral patterns, silver vines, exactly the same. He actually stepped backward when the first full section became visible. Until then, part of him had still believed she was unconsciously piecing together architectural clues from the house itself. But wallpaper hidden beneath multiple later renovations was different. There was no logical way she could have known what it looked like beforehand. That night, neither of them slept particularly well. For the first time since moving in, the Victorian started feeling less like a renovation project and more like something quietly watching from beneath the walls. Not threatening, exactly. Just aware. The strange thing was that the dreams themselves never became frightening. If anything, they grew increasingly peaceful. The older version of the house always felt warm, occupied, alive in a way the current house did not yet feel during construction. That contrast slowly started affecting her emotionally. The farther renovations progressed, the more protective she became of the original details hidden throughout the home. Old trim got repaired instead of replaced. Hardwood floors were refinished whenever possible. Original fixtures stayed even when newer replacements would have been easier and cheaper. Sometimes she caught herself making decisions based on how the house looked in the dreams. That realization disturbed her enough that she stopped mentioning it aloud. Then one evening near the end of summer, she dreamed about the back staircase again. This time she descended it carrying a small oil lamp while voices drifted faintly from the kitchen below. Somewhere farther inside the house, someone laughed softly. The staircase creaked beneath her feet in places she somehow recognized before stepping on them. At the bottom of the stairs, she paused. Someone stood inside the kitchen doorway watching her, an older woman. Not a shadow or some distorted figure standing in darkness. Just a woman standing silently in the warm light spilling from the kitchen. Her dark clothing looked slightly old-fashioned and her hair had been pinned neatly back. Although her expression remained calm, there was something deeply unsettling about the way she looked at her. Not angry. Not welcoming either. Evaluating. As though trying to understand who she was and why she was there. Then she woke up. For several seconds afterwards, she remained completely still in bed, staring into the darkness beside him, while her heart beat hard enough to hurt. Because for the first time, someone in the dreams had acknowledged her presence directly. And somehow, that made the Victorian feel more real than ever before. After that dream, she stopped talking about the house as casually as she had before. Not because she suddenly believed it was haunted in some dramatic sense, but because the dreams no longer felt detached from reality. Before, they had almost seemed observational, like glimpses into an older version of the Victorian that surfaced while she slept. Now they felt personal. The woman in the kitchen doorway had looked directly at her, and that changed the entire feeling of the dreams afterward. For several weeks after that, the dreams stopped entirely. Oddly enough, the silence unsettled her more than the dreams themselves ever had. She had grown used to waking with lingering fragments of the older house still vivid in her mind, and now the absence of them felt wrong somehow, as though something had paused instead of ending completely. Meanwhile, the renovations continued. By early fall, the Victorian finally started resembling a home again. Instead of a construction site, the original hardwood floors had been restored throughout most of the first floor. Hidden transom windows upstairs allowed light to move naturally through the hallways again, and several layers of paint had been stripped from the original staircase banister, exposing the dark, polished wood beneath. The farther they progressed, the more the house itself seemed to settle around them. Even the atmosphere changed. When they first moved in, the Victorian often felt hollow and disconnected, like sections of it belonged to entirely different houses, awkwardly stitched together over decades of renovations. Now the rooms felt warmer somehow, more balanced. Restoring the original layout wherever possible seemed to bring a strange sense of cohesion back into the home, as though the house recognized pieces of itself returning. Then they discovered the nursery. The room sat at the rear of the second floor beyond a section of wall added during some mid-century remodel. They uncovered it almost accidentally while tracing old framing connected to the servants' staircase. At first, they assumed the narrow space had simply been used for storage years earlier, but then faded wallpaper appeared beneath the drywall. Blue floral patterns threaded with thin silver vines, the same wallpaper from her dreams. The room itself was small compared to the rest of the house, with a sloped ceiling and a single tall window overlooking the backyard. Unlike the other upstairs rooms, this one had been almost completely sealed away during renovations decades earlier. The old doorway had been framed over, electrical lines bypassed the room entirely, and portions of the floor near the entrance had been patched so carefully they almost escaped notice. Someone had deliberately erased the space from the house. Standing inside it for the first time made her chest tighten immediately. Not from fear, exactly, but from recognition. The angle of the light through the window felt familiar. So did the proportions of the room and the worn marks along sections of the floorboards. She realized, standing there, in the dust and dim afternoon light, that she had seen pieces of this room scattered throughout the dreams for months without fully understanding what she was looking at. That realization disturbed both of them enough that they finally started researching the house properly. Up until then, most of their interest in the Victorian's history had focused on architectural details and renovation records. Now they started digging through old newspaper archives, census reports, and property records, trying to understand who had originally lived there. The house had belonged to the same family for nearly 60 years, three generations. Most of the records themselves revealed nothing particularly dramatic. Birth announcements, obituaries, social columns mentioning dinners and charity events hosted inside the home during the 20s and 30s. Ordinary history. Then she found a photograph. The image came from an old newspaper article about historic homes in the neighborhood sometime during the 40s. Several people stood gathered on the wraparound porch facing the camera with the stiff expressions common in photographs from that era. One of them was the woman from her dream, the same pinned back hair, the same dark clothing. Even the expression felt unmistakably familiar, calm and reserved in a way that immediately made her stomach drop. She actually let the paper slip from her hands onto the kitchen table when she realized it. He tried explaining it at first. The mind recognized patterns constantly. And after months of dreaming about the Victorian, it made sense she might unconsciously connect familiar features to someone in an old photograph. But even while saying it, he no longer sounded convinced himself because he recognized her too. After that, neither of them talked about the dreams very much anymore. Not because they stopped, but because they changed. The older version of the Victorian appeared less often now, but whenever it did, the house no longer felt distant or uneasy. The dreams carried a strange emotional warmth instead. Lamps glowed softly in restored hallways. Music drifted faintly from downstairs rooms, and the house felt occupied in a peaceful, ordinary way. And always, somewhere nearby, the woman remained present, not watching in a threatening sense. Simply there. The final dream came nearly a year after they bought the Victorian. By then, the restoration was finally finished. The aluminum siding had been removed and replaced with restored wood exterior. Original windows reopened the front rooms to natural light, and portions of the servants' staircase framing had been preserved and incorporated into the upstairs hallway instead of hidden again behind drywall. For the first time in decades, the house looked like itself again. That night, she dreamed she was standing in the front hallway just after sunset. Warm light glowed through the downstairs rooms while voices drifted faintly somewhere deeper inside the house. She could smell food cooking in the kitchen, and somewhere upstairs, footsteps crossed the hallway overhead. The house did not feel haunted, and it felt alive. She walked slowly toward the rear hallway where the servants' staircase once stood, and found the older woman waiting there quietly. For several seconds, neither of them moved. Then the woman glanced once around the restored hallway before looking back at her, and very slightly, almost imperceptibly, she nodded. There were no words, no explanations, and no sudden understanding of who she had been or why the dreams had started in the first place. What remained instead was the unmistakable feeling that something inside the house had finally been set right. She woke just before sunrise with tears already running down her face. The dreams never returned after that. But even now, years later, certain parts of the Victorian still feel strangely familiar to her in ways she cannot fully explain. Sometimes she still catches herself expecting sounds from rooms before they happen, or instinctively reaching for light switches that no longer exist because they belong to the older version of the house she knew first. And occasionally, very late at night, she still thinks about the woman standing quietly in the restored hallway, finally at peace, seeing her home remembered the way it was supposed to be.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.